How many know that praise and worship, they help us every day of our lives? And do you know, David said it like this, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. My question is, how in the world do we praise the Lord at all times and be anxious? Just a thought. It never ceases to amaze me when we realize how many people really suffer from anxiety and fear. And you know, I honestly believe that God really doesn't want us to live in that place of anxiety and fear. I have some good news for you. I have some good news for you. Anyone like the good news? Praise God. The good news is we can overcome anxiety with God's help, and He has given us everything we need in order to win the battle against anxiety. Okay, that's a good place to say praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, or ouch, or something. Praise the Lord. The bad news is your anxiety likely won't go away on its own. And sometimes we need a community of wise counsel in order to get out of our anxieties and fears. You know that Proverbs 11:14 says, for lack of guidance a nation falls, but victory is won through many advisors. Now, if that works for nations, how many know when it comes time to nations that you can have a good leader but have not so good counselors around you? It happens in a nation. It happens in our provinces. It happens in our cities and towns and villages where you can have a wonderful leader, but if they don't have good counsel around them, well, it's a hard deal for us to deal with. But I'll tell you something. Whether it's anxieties or fears or any other such thing, there is a wonderful portion of Scripture in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 that says, give all your worries and cares to God. We just sang about the Lord being king. We just sang about being children of God. Now, the Word declares that perfect love casts out fears. And yet we find that there are so many, even believers, that are so fearful and full of anxiety. And yet the Bible declares to us to give all of our anxieties. The book of 1 John, as well as other parts of Scripture, teaches that we are to live as God's children, and that we should look different from the world. However, when I make that statement, this might cause professing Christians to worry about their own standing with God because they don't know what that looks like. For some, it's we got to wear our hair different. I got up this morning and tried to style my hair, but it didn't work. But we try and make ourselves look different. We put on different clothes. You know, and it's amazing how well, when you dress up, how well people look. And we go, wow, you dress up well. But we look at the outside, and for some, it's the holiness living is about what you look like. I look at some of the young people that lead worship in different places, and yes, even my own kids, that from time to time when I'm there and listening to them lead worship, they're wearing jeans with holes in and they're buckshot and all kinds of different things, you know, and some wear hats, and we go, oh, we're looking, we're, you know, we're kind of grimacing at some of the way people look, but we're only looking out from the outward appearance, you see. God doesn't look at the outward appearance. God looks at the heart. He really does. And we know that the heart is desperately wicked. The Bible says, who can know it? But we're so filled with turmoil, you know. And so some people are just unsure what a real Christian looks like. And they don't know how they should look. Others assume that they're standing before God is secure, even though they have little or no desire to obey God. When you look at the 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, it says, this is the message we heard from Jesus and now declare to you that God is light. Everyone say with me, God is light. And it says, and there is no darkness in him at all. So we are lying if we say we have fellowship with God, but go on living in spiritual darkness. We are not practicing the truth. But if we are living in the light as God is in the light, we have what? Praise God. What a wonderful word. We have fellowship with each other. If we are living in the light as God is in the light, we have fellowship with each other. And the blood of Jesus. That's one of the reasons why we sang the song. It may not look like it fit, but it did fit when it comes time to what the blood can do. There isn't anything more that Jesus is going to do to save us from our sin. He shed his blood once and for all. Praise the Lord. There isn't anything more he's going to do. Do you know, though, that when Jesus died, you know, I'm sure that he enjoyed his stay on earth, but he couldn't stay on earth, because if he didn't go away, if he didn't die, and if he wasn't resurrected, and if he didn't go away back to his Father, we would not have the Holy Spirit. And now the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts. So by the love of God, we act different. And we have fellowship with each other, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. If we claim we have no sin, we are only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. But then it says, and here's an interesting verse, because sometimes this verse is quoted when we're talking to somebody that's not a believer. We quote this verse, but this verse was written to believers. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know what I've discovered is that we are all flawed. We are all sinners. But when we come to Jesus Christ, he forgave us of all of our sin, all of our iniquities. And the fact is, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. That means we have right standing with him. Okay, praise the Lord. That gives us confidence that we are not just slaves. We are sons and daughters of the Most High God that we sang about. The song is a reality. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. He cleanses us from all wickedness. If we claim we have not sinned, we are calling God a liar and showing that his word has no place in our hearts. We are on a journey. In fact, we are growing line upon line, precept upon precept, from glory to glory. We are being changed, In fact, one day when Jesus comes, he's coming for a church that is without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. How is he going to do that? Because of the blood of Jesus that has been applied. Praise God. But it's interesting that some are anxious and fearful. They don't even know if God really hears their prayer. But you know what? God loves you, every one of you. And God has things in store for you if you will allow him to work in your life. Let's be clear. No follower right now is without sin. But one day, we are being changed. And many are being changed right now. There are some people that seem to be changed immediately. I told you about years ago when I was growing up, we had a fellow that was working on our roof. His name was Jim. And he was something else. He was working on the roof, and if something went wrong, he'd give a swear word here and there. And my dad invited him to church. It's kind of funny how things work. I believe that, you know, those that we rub shoulders with, that we ought to just take some time to at least live the life of Christ before them. So at some point, they'll be asking questions. Well, my dad just invited Jim to church, and I'll never forget, because Jim stayed through the church. He sat in his seat, didn't move, both him and his wife. And my mom went over to my dad and says, my dad's name's John, too. And went over to my dad and says, John, you maybe should go over and minister to Jim. There's something going on there. So my dad did. And all my dad said was, Jim, would you like to give your heart to Jesus? Would you like to surrender? Jim got up and literally ran to the altar. He wept. And he wept. I'll have to tell you something about Jim. I'll tell you, I've not seen the miraculous power of God change a life like that in all of my life. I've seen God change lives. But for Jim, it was instantaneous. The joy of the Lord was on his face. He not only couldn't stop talking about Jesus, but when he come back to work on the roof the next day, he was up there just giving her. I'd be walking down the road towards school, and I could hear Jim, there is power, power, power in the blood. He was just saying it, just giving her. The whole neighborhood could hear Jim sing. But one day, Jim, working on somebody else's roof, didn't attach the ladder to the roof properly, and it fell, and Jim is to be with the Lord. Went to be with the Lord. But I'll never forget the marked difference everybody remarked at the miraculous change in Jim's life. See, God can change people instantaneously. And then I also know that there are people that seem to journey through this life, and they come to know God in a little bit... What should I say? I don't want to use the word better, but they seem to come to know God a lot more as they grow. As they get into the Bible and read the Word of God, and as they begin to pray. See, worshiping God and learning about God comes through our worship, our meditation in the Word, and also by the Spirit of God. And really, those that profess Jesus as Savior are best characterized by the obedience and the peace and the calmness that comes through the finished work of the cross and the work of the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. Now, there is a slide up there, the very first slide from 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. It's a PowerPoint. There we go. Thank you. The Lord is faithful, and he will establish you and guard you against the evil one. As you get to know him, that's how that scripture reads. It's 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 3. The Lord is faithful, and he will establish you and guard you against the evil one. We need to not only feel, but also to know the standing that we have in Christ Jesus. Some of our anxieties and some of our fears are dispelled when we get to know God better. You see. And for the Lord is faithful. We get to know him. I love that song. I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life he has been faithful. All my life he's been faithful. Many of you have found God to be faithful. You see. But God wants to establish that in our lives. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. But there are times, though, that we do face things, and we can go to the next slide, that we do face things, and Psalm 121, verse 1 says, I will lift up mine eyes to the hill. From where does my help come? Where does our help come from? Our help comes from, you can say it all together if you wish. It does. It comes from the Lord. We sang about it. The name of the Lord is a strong and a mighty tower. The Bible says the righteous run into that name and they're safe. We went for a little walk at the Air Center a week or so ago, and there were some folks that were kind of sauntering. There was one fellow, he was in the running motion. But okay. He wasn't moving very fast. But if you're playing baseball and have to get from one base to another, this isn't really you're going to get out before the ball gets there. Now, he was going as fast as he could because of his age. But there are many that are kind of, when it comes time that's going through stuff and going through, the Bible says the righteous run with all your heart. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your might. And there are moments that you go through that you are simply going to have to lift up your eyes. I get it. We have health issues too. But for the most part, you know, the very first thing that we do, what do? We call up the doctor. I need an appointment. I totally understand it. I get that. But there is a God of miracles. He is the King of Kings. And the Lord of Lords. We sang about the King. I'm going to worship the King. I'm going to praise his name. This past week we were at the meetings there at the Family Worship Center. And one of the things that we learned is that when it comes time to, when you get up in the morning, the very first thing you ought to do is to begin to pray in the Spirit and to sing in the Spirit. That gets your head, you know, gets your spirit made alive. And your spirit, if you can feed your spirit and allow your spirit to become active and connected with the Holy Spirit, when it comes time to the stuff of life during the day, your anxieties and your fears will not rule you. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. 1 Peter 5, I'm going to go back there. 1 Peter 5, verse 6 says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. When you lift up your eyes, from whence cometh your help? When you're, before you feet even hit the floor, if you lift up your eyes and you exert yourself, and even there are times you're going to have to speak to yourself and to begin to worship and magnify the Lord, that is when we humble ourselves, you see. We think that it's the only time we humble ourselves is if we're laying on the floor. Yes, I've done that too. But every time when you consult the Lord, when you seek the Lord, praise the Lord, you come to Him because you realize you can't do it on your own. We were talking about this morning, Shannon and I, you know, about the idea of surrender to God, to surrender to the Spirit of God. When we, here's a great word, yield. When we yield ourselves to Him. The Bible says, in all your ways, acknowledge Him and He might direct your pathway. No, it doesn't say that. It says He will direct your pathway. Praise the Lord. He will direct your pathway. So humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care on Him, for He cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Now, interesting word, the word casting. And actually, this message was born when we were in those meetings. We shared a word with someone. I was given the mic to do so. I didn't expect that, but I quoted this scripture, and when I walked away from the service, I kept thinking about this word casting. And I thought, well, what is that? What is that? And I got thinking about, oh, it's like throwing seeds. Remember the sower that goes out sowing seeds? He's just kind of throwing it out there. And it's really random. And because some of the seed is falling on stolen ground, some of it is on, you know, good ground, but there are some that are weedy and the whole thing. And I'm looking at that. Matter of fact, I'll never forget this. A number of years ago, I was looking at that passage and I thought, oh my goodness. That is really random sowing. What kind of a guy would get some seed and just randomly throw it and you know, some of it fall on stony ground? Is that really good use of the seed? And then I realized who the sower was that scripture was talking about. I went, sorry. You know. And the fact is that the Lord's not willing that any should perish. So that some of that seed was on stony ground and whatnot. So there is that kind of casting. And then I thought about, well, and then there is, you know, the kind of casting that you would kind of do with a fishing pole. And I got thinking about that, you know, throwing the line out there. And it's sometimes that kind of casting is somewhat like our prayer. We'll just put it out there and see if God bites. And we get the thing that we're asking for. Oh, nobody here would do that. I believe prayer is effective. And that the Lord hears our prayer after all. When you know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, you're a son or a daughter. And let me tell you, He hears your prayer. Then I thought about that kind of casting where it's like when you're in a baseball game, the fella has a ball and he's throwing that ball. The fella hits the ball and somebody catches it and they got to throw that ball over to first base, hopefully to get the fella out. Now let me tell you, that guy is not usually just taking his time. Most of the time he's throwing it with all of his strength and all of his might. He's heaving it. And When the Bible uses that word casting, it actually means to throw. And there is a throwing with diligence, with persistence, and with strength. Praise God. That kind of casting allows the Spirit of God, when you are giving it all to Him, you are in full faith, you are in full trust, you know that God is going to hear you, you are casting that thing, your burdens, your anxieties, your fears, you're casting it on Him. Why? Because He cares for you. All those concerns. Casting all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns once and for all on Him, for He cares about you with deepest affection. What I discovered is that anxiety and fears usually have a cycle. You see. You know, you have that feeling of anxiety because of the dilemma that you're in. The very first thing we do is we attempt to control. And then there's the fear sets in because we begin to lose control. We come to the end of ourselves. But then we attempt to gain control over it. And this thing is a cycle that keeps going around and around and around and around. And yet the Word of God says, be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. I'll tell you, if it's big enough to worry about, it's big enough to pray about. If it's big enough to worry about, it's big enough to pray about. Bringing all your care, let it go. Don't worry about anything. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He's done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ. You don't always have the power to control, but you always have the power to surrender. I need to say that again. You don't always have the power to control, but we do have the power to surrender. And the best thing, the smartest thing you can do when there is that temptation to be anxious is to surrender to God in complete trust. Completely surrendering. And might I add this, that the Holy Spirit was poured out to help us through times that are difficult. He is the one who is there to lead us and guide us and to help us. He is our advocate. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. According to the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 6, all of life seems to be a spiritual warfare. There is a conflict. And yes, the armor of God, we need to wear. We need to wear. We need to put on. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. Paul really gives no formula for prayer, but he does tell us that there are some things that ought to characterize all of our prayers. It says when we pray, pray at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. And we are to do so with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints of God. That prayer is simply an outflow of our relationship with God, a conversation that is rooted and grounded in His Word. And Paul even identifies the Word of God as the sword of the Spirit. When you're anxious, go to Him. He is able to do exceedingly above and beyond. And there are times that we simply need to get with someone that we know believes in God. Matter of fact, when we heard about first heard about Sammy, because of Shannon actually worked with Sammy when she was 8 years old, and we got to know Sammy really well, and we had a friend that come up for the services, and he stayed with us. And before he left, we called Sammy, and we together agreed in prayer for Sammy. Now, there were other people across the nation that were praying. And by the way, did you share about Sammy the last did you post it? Share with us what God was doing there if you can. It's cool. God answers prayer. God answers prayer. Yeah. Praise God. And with Blair, God's answering prayer. Thank you, Jesus. And I believe with Richard, God is answering prayer. Continually. Yeah, absolutely. And the thing is, we don't stop until it's completed. Praise God. Do you have it? The one where she was when we don't give up, praise God, God can do. After having done all to stand, the Bible says, stand. In some of these situations, it's God. You know, yes, there are doctors and nurses and science and those kind of things. I get that. But I do believe that God is able to do exceedingly above and beyond. And the fact that God is willing. Sometimes we feel like I'm not really in that, I don't really feel that spiritual. I don't know how many times I've prayed for people and I really didn't feel spiritual. I really didn't feel that spiritual right at that moment. But we spoke what was given to us and we watched God work. We serve a great, big, wonderful God. A great, big, wonderful God. A God who loves every one of us, always watching over us. Great, big, wonderful God. We've got a great, big, wonderful God. Great, big, wonderful God. Oh, a God who... Now the words there, okay. I started out okay. You got the idea. We serve a great, big, wonderful God. I forget, and He doesn't. Stand with me, please. I don't know what it is you face today, but I do know that we can come to God and we can surrender and we can humbly come to Him. And in our final prayer this morning, you know, I just invite you to lift your hands a little bit. It doesn't have to be high. Just lift your hands a little bit and begin to surrender to Him. Lord, I thank You that there is none like You in all the earth. I thank You that You are God and there is all, You know all things. You are all powerful. You are all seeing. You hear everything and You know the intents of our hearts. And today we surrender ourselves to You. We give You our anxieties and our fears, and we fully trust You to complete the work in our lives. You complete it in Jesus' name. 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 We cast all of our anxieties. We throw them with might and strength at Your feet, Lord. We praise You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. And Lord, Your yoke is easy and Your burden is light. We receive Your strength, Your life, Your power, Your anointing, Your leading and guiding us in these endeavors. And that, Lord, You will give us wisdom in Jesus' name. I ask, Lord, that Your very countenance would rest upon these people in Jesus' name, that they will see Your glory working upon them, working in them, working from them in Jesus' name to those that are around about them. Thank You, Lord, for this. We ask, Lord, that as people look on, they will see not just sons and daughters, but they will see a people of peace, walking in calmness and steadfastness in Your strength. Thank You, Lord, as they walk with You, leaning not to their own understanding, but acknowledging You in all of their ways in the name of Jesus. You will direct them. You have plans for them. You have purpose for them. And we give You praise for this as we draw from Your strength now. In Jesus' name, we bless these people now. Ask You, Lord, to cover them with Your precious blood as they leave this place and as they travel home. Thank You, Lord, for Your peace and safety and watchful care over them. In Jesus' name, we thank You now, for You are good. Amen. Praise God. Lord bless you. Lord bless you. If you wish to have further prayer, you don't have to leave without prayer, but we can pray for you. Thank you.